You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jason Beck. And Beck, we're going to talk about, we're a couple weeks away from spring training here. Tigers just had Tiger Fest. What were your main takeaways from that? You get a little time to spend with the players before we get to spring and spend some time with Osmus and Dombrowski. What were your main points of interest, I guess, that came out of that event?
Well, it really kind of hit home how different of a team this looks like now. I mean, it's still based around pitching, but when you look around and, you know, obviously Scherzer wasn't there and Porcello was not there. But then you look, you know, Yoenis Cespedes was there. You know, you got Alfredo Simon now not only being part of the rotation, but potentially a critical part of it. And it's looking, you know, pretty assured now. And you look at, you know, all the other guys around, and it kind of hits you how this team has evolved or kind of changed around over the last couple of years, where, you know, even if you look back to the team that went to the World Series in 2012, there's been a lot of changeover, surprisingly. And this is it really kind of hits you that this is kind of one of those efforts where, you know, you don't want to say it's the last effort, but you realize how much work is going into extending this window for these guys, I think. And secondly, I think one of the big things that stood out was Verlander feeling like he's in pretty good shape, and kind of looking forward to getting back to spring training. And you know, he certainly had a full off season. He's had a pretty active off season, a highly publicized off season, but he's going to be such a key for this team. I think if their playoff chances don't hinge on a bounce back for him, certainly their chances of getting to the World Series do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And certainly interesting. I mean, he's kind of hitting on all the spring training storylines here. He's going to work on a new pitch. He's added 20 pounds of muscle. I don't think he used the term best shape of his life, but
he's probably going to wait till Lakeland to bring that out.
Okay, all right. And these are, you know, the things we always have players follow these storylines every year, but he's a big one, obviously. How much credence do you put into the new pitch stuff? I mean, he's not – his arsenal is just like any pitcher. As the age and accrue, he's thrown more pitches than anybody in the last five, six seasons. So certainly the repertoire, you know, evolves within that time, but it sounds like he wants to expand it in some capacity.
Yeah, I think it's got to happen. I've thought that for almost a year now. Just part of it's a natural aging process. You look up and down the line, you know, guys, once they cross 30 and get comfortably into their 30s, they have to adjust that fastball, unless you're Nolan Ryan. And I know Justin grew up, you know, looking at Nolan Ryan as an idol. Unless you're that guy, you can't count on being able to have that as your day in, day out, must have out pitch. And not that Justin doesn't have other pitches. He obviously has over the years. You know, I think we've written a ton about how big the curveball was, and he threw a no hitter in Toronto based on his slider a few years ago.
Yeah.
But it was always based off the fastball and being able to get ahead with the fastball and either set it up or use the fastball to set up another pitch. And now I think he's at the point where he's got to be able to have a workaround. Not all the time, but he's got to be able to do something to get guys off that fastball and to have a game plan, a flow chart, whatever you want to call it, where, you know, if the fastball is not working, how am I going to get guys out? How am I going to have an effective start? This is something that, you know, guys like Max Scherzer was already planning ahead from this. Not a whole lot of people knew this. Max Scherzer was already, you know, diversifying his repertoire, not just to get hitters out now, but so that his game would still be effective as he got into his 30s. And I think other people realize that. And I think this is about that time that for Verlander that he's going to have to do it. And it's going to involve much more than one new pitch. You've got to be able to really have all the secondary pitches as options to be able to get guys.
Well, we've certainly seen the rise of the cutter in the game in the last, especially in the last 5, 6, 7 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something he's going to tinker with. But we'll save that for Lakeland as well. Beck, we'll get into that.
One more thing, because it's funny. I remember it was me and I think John Morosi were talking with Verlander over the summer. In the middle of the season, and he was going through the struggles, and I think the two-seamer came up, and just the look on his face, it was some sort of combination of disgust and horror. So it's good that he's gotten to this point.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, you get to this level, and you get to Justin Verlander's level with a great deal of confidence. So the same thing that gets you that level is also the same thing that hinders you when it is time to make those necessary adjustments to come with age. But I agree with you. It is good to see him embracing that mindset. I wanted to ask you, too, about some stuff Ausmus has said, just kind of going through his batting order and throwing Alex Avila out as a number two candidate for that lineup. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's realistic?
I think it's an option. I don't know if it's the best option. In a perfect world, I think Jose Iglesias would have a bounce-back year where you didn't necessarily see quite as much rust as you would expect after a year off, at least at the plate. When you look at his tool set, he makes a lot more sense to me as a number two hitter. Now, he's got a hit, obviously, and there's still some question about that. Now, I know 2013 was kind of almost a tale of two seasons for him because he had a hot start in Boston, and then he really faded for the final 3 to 4 months of the year. I think he ended up hitting like 259 or somewhere in the 250s in his Detroit tenure down the stretch that year. But Avila can get on base, and I like the idea. The thing to me, though, is one of the advantages of whoever hits in front of Cabrera, and I think we saw with Torrey Hunter, you see a lot more strikes. And I think it really seems to benefit more of an aggressive hitter who can get to pitches around the strike zone and is not going to cheat himself that way. Alex, for being one of the best judges of the strike zone, he does have a high strikeout total. And, a number of those strikeouts are looking because he's really got that defined idea of where the corner is and what to take and what to swing at. I don't know, other than on-base percentage, if it really portends itself to batting in front of Cabrera. I would almost rather see Yoenis Cespedes batting in, so at least kind of toy around with that to see how he would react to it. It's not for everybody, but when you look at what Cespedes has done and you look at the aggressive type of hitter he is, I think it'd be interesting to see how and whether that would benefit him.
The idea I find interesting, and I don't expect it to happen, but the Tigers have one of the deepest middle orders in the game, especially now with Cespedes added to Mickey and V. Martin and J.D. Martinez to that group. And we saw Leland play with this in the 2013 ALCS, but Mickey Cabrera batting second. Instead of, wrenching somebody into a role they might not be accustomed to, he gets on base at an elite level. You have Ian Kinsler in front of him. I think there's numbers that show you have the same, over the course of a year, you have the same number of RBI opportunities on average in the second spot versus the number three spot. I don't know. I just kind of spitballing here because you see a lot of teams do this where they're trying to find a guy for that second spot. They don't have an obvious fit, and they experiment with it. And I think there's a lot of validity to that argument, just putting your best hitter in the second spot.
I think it would be intriguing depending on how well he moves around. And Brad kind of referenced this at Tiger Fest, that one of the disadvantages of Avila in the two spot would be that you have a series of slow, below-average base runners in a row. I think Cabrera is a smarter base runner than a lot of people give him credit for, but his foot speed is taking a toll through injuries. I don't know if he runs the same way. Now, granted, and I wrote about this the other day, it doesn't take a whole lot of foot speed to be able to trot around the bases if Miguel Cabrera is hitting 40 homers a year again. On the other hand, if you look at that power drop that he had last year,
sure,
and think that might be a sign of where his game might be headed as he ages and not just an anomaly based on injuries, then you got to wonder, are you better off getting somebody who can score from first on the double there? Because while the home run total dropped, the doubles were a career high. I think it ended up with like 52 or 53, I believe. If you're looking at a doubles hitter in that three spot now instead of, say, a home run champion, I think maybe that changes Brad's approach on what he wants out of the guy hitting in front of him.
That was all great points, Beck. I think it's one of those deals where when you don't have a perfect solution, you look for the best imperfect solution. So that's something that Osmus is running through right now. And speaking of imperfect situations, the MLB.com's top 100 prospects list comes out. The Tigers have one guy on that list, Steven Moya. I know these lists are not especially popular with Dave Dombrowski at the moment. The Tigers don't fare very well on them, but your thoughts on that? I guess it's just another indication of kind of where we're at organizationally here with the team, as you said, trying to make the most out of this core of talent that they have now.
Well, Anthony, on the bright side, they developed three of the top 100 prospects.
The
problem is they only have one of them left. Willie Adames and Jake Thompson are elsewhere now, thanks to the trade last summer. So they can develop top 100 talent. It's the keeping part. It almost sounds like the rental car scene on the signs.
The reservations. You don't know how to hold the reservations, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. This is something we've talked about it for a few years now, and I think part of the problem is it costs prospects to be able to win a deal and get talent to help you now. And they've certainly gone for it the last couple of years that way. This is the aftermath of that. But I also think it shows the fact that the Tigers are sensitive about this or attuned to it, I think shows a sign that they know they have to restock that system. If for no other reason than to be able to pull off trades in 2 years if they're going to extend their window further. But I think, too, they're seriously looking at beyond this year and even next and trying to realize that, hey, we've got to be able to sustain this. I know Dave Dombrowski's talked about sustained success. Even if you're not talking about a team that's going to be among the World Series favorites every year, I think what he's trying to avoid is that severe drop-off or try to ward it off as well as you can. That kind of makes the Yoan Moncada rumors interesting. And the fact that he worked out in Lakeland for the Tigers last week, it makes that extra draft pick they get for Scherzer signing with Washington interesting to watch. These guys are going to have to make some decisions both ways to both try to win now and try to assure that this team isn't headed off a cliff in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. There's no doubt Tigers have a lot riding on extending that window in the AL Central, winning it for the fifth time in 2015. We're just a couple weeks away from spring training. Beck will be down there. We'll check in with him again. We want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.